The question was asked, being that every person has potential, and we discussed that in heaven they're awaiting that every person realize his spiritual potential. So does that mean that a person should stop his life and just focus on spirituality and become the greatest Torah giant he can become tomorrow? And is that what it means, that a person should realize his spiritual potential? So I think that the answer to that has to be a practical answer. Most people, if they're going to stop their lives and say, that's it, I'm focusing on Torah now, everything else to the wind, they're not going to be successful taking that route. They're not going to be successful in Torah either. Growth has to be gradual. Can it be that 5 years down the road you're going to know enough Torah and grow enough in Torah that you're going to decide that your profession interests you less and Torah interests you more, and you'll figure out a compromise where Torah will be the center of your life? That's possible. But you can't do it today. It would be a mistake to do it today. Most people who would try to do it today, you know, a guy walks into Machon Meir, he gets all excited, doesn't last. It's not real. You have to first know what Torah is all about. You have to learn more. And as you learn and discover what Torah is about and see where your potential lies, so then with time you can decide what you're going to sacrifice for Torah, and that's an individual decision. We've had students here who sacrificed tremendous things in order to grow in Torah, and they don't regret it, and they grew, and they became great assets to the Jewish people. But such a decision has to be an intelligent decision. Whenever I sit with youngsters who come here and they tell me they want to continue in the way of Torah, I usually argue against it. I say you have to take your time, continue your college degree, continue your profession, and as time goes on, make an intelligent and balanced decision. And that's something which has to come out of a lot of understanding, not a haphazard decision. It's a decision about life. Is someone admirable if he does it? Well, I would say he's only admirable if he does it intelligently. If a person does it too quickly, then A, it won't last, and B, it was a foolish decision. It could be his heart was in the right place, but that's not good enough. You know, you have a responsibility to be a productive adult. And if you make a decision and you didn't do it intelligently and responsibly, and that's why it didn't work, so then you're threatening your whole capacity to be productive. I'd much rather a guy who says, I'm going to learn every day for an hour or two, and I'm also going to develop my profession. And he could grow in that and be balanced in that and be steady in that. I think that's what Hashem wants. Can it be that as a person grows, a person is going to slowly diminish his investment in the material things and increase his investment in spiritual and reach a point where he realizes this is the path I want to take and it'll be a correct decision for him? Yes, we have students who do that. And if a person does it at a time where he's balanced enough to do it, experienced enough to do it, responsible enough to do it, fine. That's the point where it's fair to make such a decision. But if he does it when he's not yet balanced enough, doesn't yet know enough about Judaism, does it in an irresponsible fashion, then it there's no other way for it to play itself out other than to backfire, which it does. And when it backfires, the person's whole life is destroyed. And then his capacity to be productive on the most basic level is challenged. His capacity to get married and build a home and be a productive part of Klal Yisrael is challenged as well. And that, to my mind, is one of the strengths of Machon Meir. That Machon Meir does not push you guys down that path. Quite the contrary. Machon Meir's goal is that you guys be productive in society and be Torah observant Jews. And grow in the Torah. And as you grow, so then some of you will opt to take that path. And I meet our alumni, and I'm very surprised. Sometimes I get invited to a bris, and I come, and suddenly I see the father of the kid with long payas, and there's a rebbe there, and I'm the one that's dressed least from in the crowd, okay? And I remember the guy when he was by us with hair down to here and everything, you know? I remember him, I remember when he walked into Machon Meir. Fine, but you know, 15 years have passed since then, 10 years have passed, whatever, time has passed, and gradually he decided this was his path, and this was the path he and his wife chose, and that's the path he's sending his children on. Fine, if a person gradually evolves in a certain direction, fine. I also see the people who make a quick and rash decision and decide they forgo their degrees and they forgo their professions and they come here and they They put all their strength into Torah, and it lasts a few months or a year or two, and eventually it peters out, and then they end up being in a situation where they can't go back and they can't go forward and they're stuck. And that's not positive. And that's why the recommendation is slowly and learn. And if you can take this year to learn, so take this year to learn. And at the end of the year, you'll be smarter about your decision about next year. And slowly, growth that's gradual and consistent is much better than growth that's tremendous but inconsistent. Chazal always said, "Tafasta merube lo tafasta." If you try to grab too much, you're not going to get there. So when we say you should realize your potential, that doesn't mean to do it in a rash form. Now, there are exceptions. There are people who are exceptionally powerful, and people who are exceptionally brilliant, and people who can make a huge decision in a short amount of time and make huge changes in their lives. That does exist. But remember that 999 out of 1,000 are not those people. Even if they'd like to be, even if they think they are, at the end of the day, the facts on the ground prove differently. There is that 1 out of 1,000, maybe 1 out of 10,000, who could do it and be successful. But if we have to work intelligently, then we have to assume that the odds are I'm not that person. That so many people are not, and so many people have tried and not succeeded when they didn't go in an orderly and gradual path. So then I have to assume, if I have to guess who I am, that I'm like 999 out of 1,000, and that I have to go gradually. And that's why that's our recommendation for every student. Slowly, don't forgo your profession. Don't forgo your education. Work it out with it. If you could take time off, if you could take a year off and study, great. Focus on your studies. If you could take off 2 years, even better. And we always push off the decision until you have more experience. And with time, hopefully you'll be able to grow more. And if your profession is less important to you and your learning is more important to you, and you can balance that out in a way that you could continue productively, great, but gradually. Slow, and the slower the better. Because usually people grow too fast. I don't find that people grow too slow. I'm always the one that says put the brakes on it. Slowly. I don't know if I've had this conversation with any of you yet, but most of the time I'm the one that encourages guys to go take a break. I say, you've been working too hard. Go. Take a week off. Take a night off. You have to take a break. Usually guys that come to Machon Meir are so serious that their growth is too quick. And it ends up exploding. A person has to grow at a pace that he's comfortable with, at a pace that's natural to them. And then with time, as they grow, you know, we always compare it to a car. You guys, I from Chutz Laretz, I don't know if you drive shift, but you know you have to shift gear when suddenly the motor is like, you know, you hear the motor, you know he's working too hard. You have to shift gears. Okay, same thing in growth in Torah. You have to give a little bit of gas, you have to advance, but if your motor is making a lot of noise, if it's demanding a tremendous amount of effort to hold on to the level you're at, you know you've pushed too far. Take 2 steps back and continue driving at that pace. You got to compare yourself to the motor. On the one end, you got to give gas. There's a certain amount of effort in the tshuva process and the growth process, but that amount of effort that your engine is purring along, not that it's too hard. Mike, you want to say something? Okay. You want to say something? Yoel?
I didn't understand one of the words, but I think you cleared it up.
Okay.
So, then how do you know when to switch gears?
To work harder or slower?
Obviously, to work harder. I mean, you're in second, you might go to third. Okay, so then just looking how I slow down. Eventually, you got to get to third gear.
When it becomes too easy, like on a car. And give yourself time. You know, when people ask me about certain chumras, certain stringencies that are not halacha, so the answer I usually give is, talk to me in 10 years. And chances are in 10 years I'll tell you talk to me in another 10 years. But why? You know, keeping Shabbos is hard enough. Keeping kashrus is hard enough. Keeping the laws of family purity. The mitzvahs are not easy. To remember to say a bracha. I always say, before you take on stringencies, try to do the mitzvahs you're doing better. Try to daven a few more blessings with kavana. Try to have a little bit more kavana when you bench. Try to be a little bit more caring of your roommate. Take what you have and try to make it better before you take on a whole new area of stringencies. I'm not a fan of stringencies. I think that the tshuva process is so hard that it's hard enough to hold on. If you want to take on something else, or try to learn one halacha before davening. You should always try to grow incrementally and small increments. When that growth becomes second nature, then you can think about taking on something else. But second nature doesn't mean a week. Second nature means a few months at least.
Yeah. I remember about 2 years ago, Yom Kippur was in London, and the Rav there was from Matshuva, and he was saying, like, don't take on something too big that you won't be able to deal with. For example, Shabbat. And I think it was about 2 months after that. I mean, I was always aware of Shabbat. I always used to go to Shul and everything, but 2 months after that, I went from not very good Shabbat observance to complete Shabbat observance of Shabbat Kippur until now.
Okay, so you know what it's like. You know that the first few months, it's not easy to keep Shabbat, and then slowly it becomes second nature.
I never found it difficult.
Good for you?
I mean, except for some Shabbat open us completely alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't be alone, right? Try to go and be with communities. Right. He said the hard thing about keeping Shabbat is when you're alone. I would add when you're alone and the cell phone rings. Okay, good. That's a smart thing to do. Shut the phone before Shabbat, right? Right? Okay. Okay, we got 5 minutes, right? So let's do a little bit of Ein Yaakov.